What is up, everybody? We have made it to episode 50 of the Will Wonder Pod. Hope everyone had a very happy and safe and filling Thanksgiving. I know I did. Helped my mom cook for a couple of hours, and I mean, she still cooks like there's, you know, 30 to 40 people when there isn't, but it was a lot of fun nonetheless. Had a lot of good food, a lot of good drinks, watched some football, you know, and just was around family, so it was very nice. Kind of stayed low-key this weekend. I actually was poodle-sitting. Yep, that's right, poodle-sitting for the weekend. My wife's old bosses went out of town, and they live here in Salt Lake, have a pretty nice home and have two little poodles that I looked after. So that was a lot of fun and very, very quiet. I'm not going to lie. Going from a house with a little over three and a half year old boy to a house with two, you know, 14 year old poodles. It's different. I'll just say that. I did get so here's an update for those who keep track of my grades. I got an A in my last class, so 3 A's, 4 A-minuses, started a new class, did some homework over the weekend. Right now I have an A in that class. We're still very early though. While I was up there watching those poodles, I did get to watch the Music Box documentary on DMX that's on HBO. Really, really good. A lot of sad stuff in there. You know, you find out that he was still dealing with drugs and all these issues while he was on tour. And I actually saw him on that tour. And he's, you know, I mean, I obviously didn't speak with him in person, but as far as the way he was performing, he seemed very normal and very, well, you know, just like DMX, he sounded great. But obviously, he was still battling those demons that ultimately took him out later in life. But very good documentary. I would suggest watching it. The Music Box documentary series is done by The Ringer and Bill Simmons. They have the DMX one. There's an Alanis Morissette. There's a Woodstock one. And they're doing a couple of others here in the coming weeks. So definitely check those out if you're into kind of deep dives into artists or just music in general. I did want to announce that I'm going to have kind of a limited run on the Will Wonder Pod t-shirts. I got some more in stock right before the holidays. So, you know, if last time you got a white one and you want a black one, or vice versa, or maybe you have a significant other and you want to grab one for them, feel free to reach out to me. You can reach out to me on Instagram at the Will Wonder Pod. I did set up a shop on the website I'm creating, but it's just not ready yet, and I don't feel comfortable doing stuff on there as of right now. So reach out to me at the Will Wonder Pod on Instagram, on Twitter at DJ Will Wonder, and we can get you one of those shirts. They're $30, but I'm happy to ship those to wherever you may need to get them. I think that's about it, really, to catch up on. This is the 50th episode, and so yesterday on the Will Wonder Pod Instagram, I had said, you know, would like to do a quick mailbag, just a couple of questions for the 50th episode, because I think that's always fun. Some of the questions that people have are pretty interesting, to say the least. So we will get into a few of those. The first question is, top five you would have on your podcast, dead or alive, similar to the Dream Music Festival question that I ask guests. So I thought about this for a little while because, I mean, you want to kind of get people from all different walks of life. And I came down to a couple of people. Obviously, I want to interview Jay-Z. He's my favorite artist. I think that would be a lot of fun. I feel like I know a lot about him and his music and his journey, but just to be able to sit down with him would be really cool. Next, I think I would want to talk to Martin Luther King. For obvious reasons, but it would be interesting to talk to him and figure out kind of what he thinks about today, you know, present times, as compared to when, you know, he was doing his civil rights work. Next, you got to have Michael Jordan. I feel like, you know, a lot of the stuff with him has been done to death with The Last Dance, but I mean, it's Michael Jordan. You have to do it. Then I think next up would have to be DJ Kool Herc. who's essentially been given, you know, the name of the father or the creator of hip hop. So that would be very cool to talk to him about, you know, what it was like then and all the way up until now, and just, man, just view life and history of my favorite music through his eyes. That would be very cool. Let's see. So that is four right there. The last spot is always hard because there's, you know, there's a million different people that you could interview. But I think if I'm going to, you know, obviously on this podcast, I talk a lot about sports, a lot about music, and we've talked a lot about movies. So I think it would be really fun to get one of my favorite actors. I have three essentially favorite actors. So Denzel Washington, Jack Nicholson, and Leonardo DiCaprio. But out of those three, I think the one who would I'd most like to sit down with, and it's probably just due to his longevity, it would probably be Jack Nicholson. Don't get me wrong, Denzel would be a really fun person to sit down with. But I think I'd have to go with Jack. You know, he's getting towards the tail end, as sad as that sounds. But talk to him about The Shining, about The Departed, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, like all of these different films that he was in. And also, as a lot of people know, he's a huge sports fan, Lakers. So I think that would be really cool. I don't know if there's been many in-depth interviews with him. There has been quite a few with Denzel. That's probably the one thing that would have me lean Jack Nicholson over Denzel Washington. But I love that question. Really good question. The next one would be, what has been the biggest reward of starting a podcast and one of the toughest parts? So I think the biggest reward is just, it's a lot of fun, and like knowing that people actually take time out of their week to listen to it is really fulfilling. And it's just an outlet for me. Like, you know, I started this mid-pandemic. I wasn't DJing nearly as much as I had in the past. So just something to just stay, I guess, creative, you would say, right? And an outlet for that. And it's been a lot of fun. So those two things, you know, being able to stay creative. And then also just the fact that people actually like this and they listen to it on a weekly basis, take time out of their days, their weeks to listen to it, which is just fucking crazy to me, which is, but I love it and it's awesome. Toughest part is some weeks you are busy, you know, you have other things going on in life, obviously. So trying to keep up with what's going on in the world of sports and the world of music, but also put together something, you know, again, that people would want to hear and that, you know, they should give their time up for throughout the week to listen to. That's kind of stressful because there's, you know, like I said, weeks where you get really busy, different things are going on with the family, holidays are coming up, all kinds of stuff like that. But just putting out a quality product, it can be stressful at times, but also, again, very rewarding and very fun. All right, next question comes from a smartass that says, when will you see a doctor about clearing your throat so much? I'm concerned. Never, Daniel, never. Next question, how do you manage to watch every single sport you talk about? It's impossible. And that is very true. I don't watch every single thing. I read a lot online. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I do watch a ton of sports. Like if the TV's on, that's what I'm watching, you know, 9 times out of 10, a basketball game, a football game, baseball, even when that's going on, college basketball, everything. So I do watch a lot, but to say that I watch everything would be a lie. Like if it's a Sunday, there's 10 games on, you know, I'm not watching the Texans play the Jets like this last week. I'm just not. I can gather my notes and then see exactly what I need to see and talk about it from there. All right, next question. Where do you think Barb is from Stranger Things? Is she really dead? Yes, Barb is gone. We haven't seen her in seasons. She's not alive. She's gone. We just need to let her rest. Rest in peace to Barb. And I'm very, very excited for the next season of Stranger Things, which is going to come out this upcoming year. Next question is, when are you coming through to our pod? Well, Lake Talk 801, fellas, anytime you are ready. I would love to come on, talk music, talk sports, and just chop it up with you guys. So you let me know, and I'll be there. The next question is, if you could be inserted into your favorite sitcom, who would you be? So this is another good question from my brother, Shawnee Boy, who also gave me one of the coolest gifts I've ever received. And I shared that on the Instagram. But I think there's two options here. And the truth is, there's really probably only one. But the two I was going between were Cheers, being Norm, because it just seems like everyone loves Norm. Comes in, Norm, you know what I mean? But Norm's an alcoholic as well, so probably shouldn't be Norm. But I think it has to be The Office. And no, it's not Michael Scott, though I think he's the best character on there. I think I'd have to be Jim. Like, Jim just seems like a great guy, funny, very dry humor, likes fucking around, messing around with Dwight all the time, you know? I think it's got to be Jim. Office was, you know, I was very late to The Office, I won't lie. I didn't start watching it until it was over, and my wife put me onto it, and it's great. Very, 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 very good show. Okay, next up. How much fun have you had? I've had a ton of fun. Like I said in that question prior, like, there has been some stressful weeks where I worry about not getting good content out to people. But man, it honestly has been a lot of fun. I told myself when I first started doing it, like, if I wasn't having fun with it, I wouldn't keep doing it. And here we are 50 episodes later. So yeah, having a ton of fun. The next question is, who are your top five up and coming rappers? So this is I'm going to be honest, this is a tough question for me, because depending on how much you listen to hip hop music, how much you listen to rap, you may have been listening to these guys for a long time, right? Like 5 years, and they just haven't reached that point to where they're a household name. So it's hard to say up and coming, I guess rappers that are maybe not generally known to the general public, you know, like a household name. I love IDK. He put out a really, really good album. But again, IDK's been around for quite a while. But I think this new album has really launched him and got his name out there even more. There's a rapper by the name of Maxo Cream, who, again, isn't necessarily a household name. Sounds a little different. But I'll listen to his stuff. 42 Doug. Again, this is hard because, you know, is a guy like JID, is he a household name? Probably not. I love JID. Is Isaiah Rashad a household name? No, he's not. He has some great stuff. You know, there's just so many different artists. I mean, even you look at Family Ties, the song with Baby Keem, Kendrick Lamar. Baby Keem put out a really great album. So maybe Baby Keem is one of those, you know, top up-and-coming rappers. But it's hard because, again, some of these rappers have been doing this for so long. So to say that they're new or up-and-coming is kind of downplaying what they've done in the past. But again, just not household names. I would say those guys that I had mentioned, you know, you check all of them out. They have really, really great work. So, all right. Thank you guys for sending those questions in. I didn't get to all of them, but I kind of put in a mixture of all the different questions in there. So I appreciate you sending those in. This is what we're going to do on this episode, episode 50 of the podcast. Coming up, I'll have my guy Kurt Pruitt back. We're going to talk some hoops. We're going to start out our conversation with some Washington football team talk, because we're both Washington football team fans, and you know what? We're in the playoff picture, so it is what it is. Then after that, Hoop will come to recap week 12 of the NFL, and we will preview week 13. and then we will end with roses. So before we do that, as usual, we're going to holler at my guy, Dre Rocca.
Will Wonder podcast fans, I apologize. I'm not going to take too much of your time. I just wanted to take a second to introduce myself. My name is Dre Rocca, and I have this podcast called Unrestricted, where I get to interview some of my my really good friends and homies, and I won't even call it an interview. It's really just us bantering and learning about each other. And if you're outside of Utah, stop by, get to know our community, because our community is dope. And not only that, but I have a radio show on U92, 3 to 7, Monday through Friday. And I sit down and I talk to some different personalities, entertainers. Like, I have this a segment right now called I Love That with my good friend Lisa Barlow from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So we get into a lot of conversation, and I would love for you to be a part of it. So come on over, allrock.com. That's A-L-L-R-A-W-K. .com, and you can follow me on Instagram at Dre Rocca. That's DreRawka. Now back to the show.
Okay, it's been not too long, I guess. He joined me last month for the 30 days of Halloween, but it's been far and few between. But my guy, Kurt Pruitt, is back.
I'm back, baby.
Kurt, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. We're celebrating a win.
Oh my God. Let's just get that out of the way. I brought Kurt on today to talk some NBA, but my God, our Washington football team, me and Kurt are kindred spirits. We've cheered the same frustrating team for years now. And you know, it ultimately bonded us, really, if you really think about it. But man, look at them. Look at them. They go last night. They could have lost the game to Seattle, but you know what? They tightened their bootstraps and they got that W. Now they're
crazy. Sorry to cut you off, but I've never seen a team dominate in terms of time of possession and yardage and almost lose the game. But that's the story. That's the ballad of the Washington football team right there.
Insane. They let two big plays happen, and you know what? Well, they could have lost. And it's like, damn it, just tighten up. Don't let a 60-yard pass to Lockett happen, and we're fine. But yeah, seventh in the NFC, second in the NFC East. Like, we're right there. I you know, we could possibly overtake San Francisco in the coming weeks. You know, just win out. Forget about it. Super Bowl.
Forget about it. We're Super going Bowl? All the way, baby.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, if we go to the playoffs this year, I'm not getting ahead of myself, but if we do, this will be the first time, I think, in the Dan Snyder era. So what, 99?
Yep.
That the team has gone to the playoffs in back-to-back years.
Years in a row. Woo-hoo! Woo! Shout out to the NFL for opening up a few more playoff spots this year, but you're very right. You're very right. Yeah. And then hopefully next year he just, you know, they release all of the information and he's no longer the owner. And we can just
prostitution ring catches up to him.
And just get that monkey off our back and we are solid.
Let's go Bezos. I think what's crazy is this team is born in chaos. We thrive in chaos. Us as fans understand the chaos.
Right.
And the NFC is just absolute chaos right now.
Yeah.
Literally every team but the Lions are in it. So why not just, you know, stake our claim and get into the first round and lose? But exactly. I'd love it. I'd love it.
I would too. Yeah, like you said, 2 years in a row. That hasn't happened.
It's foreign. It almost feels like you're sinning in a way. Like, ooh, I shouldn't be doing this. But here we are talking about it.
And Heineke, you know, he gets that young Brett Favre comparison, which I don't know if I love or I hate. But at the same time, I'm like, hell yeah. Like, he just doesn't care. He has that I don't give a shit bone in my body. And if I'm going to throw a pick, I might throw another one. But I'm just going to keep going, you know. So
he has the least amount of arm talent I've ever seen. He can barely throw the ball 40 yards, man. When he tried to zip that deep out route,
right.
Like, it looked like, I don't know, a high school kid throwing it. But what Heineke does is he believes in himself, man. Mm-hmm. He says that all you need is one person to believe in you. And you know what? I'm riding the train. What's scary is he's going to play good enough to just kind of be around, I think, for a few years,
right.
Which is fine because the quarterback situation in college right now coming out into the draft isn't great. So why not just, you know, throw a Band-Aid on this wound that needs about a million stitches and just try not and bleed out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what is it? We've only had like 28 quarterbacks the last couple of years. So
I don't know, man. I remember 1 year I bought a Jason Campbell jersey because I'm like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
You need to have your quarterback's jersey. And then I quickly realized that's a very bad, as a Washington fan, that's a bad mindset to have because you'd be out of a lot of money really quick. That's, you know,
you would have a closet full. You would have a closet full of jerseys from John Beck to Rex Grossman to Colt McCoy, RG3. Like it
Todd
would just
Collins.
Be, oh, God. You know, you thought, I mean, we can go down this rabbit hole for days, but needless to say, Kurt and I are in great spirits.
Yeah.
Today. So,
you know, hold on real quick. Sorry, yeah. I'm cutting off a lot, but no, we talk about this every game, but just one week, guys, can we just like win a game and not have to stress?
Oh God. For
like
real.
Every game somehow comes down to the fourth quarter, last few drives. Like let's just win by a couple touchdowns. I want to have the fourth quarter. You know what I want to do in the fourth quarter? I want to relax, man. Yeah. I want to relax.
So let sit me relax. There. Maybe even check another game out.
Yeah. Hey,
maybe, like, oh, this one's close.
Yeah, what's going on here? Oh, wow, Twitter. Okay. Oh, no, my heart rate's up and I'm watching the screen because our kicker got hurt. We didn't kick a field goal. And now freaking Russell Wilson's driving and he hits a 33-yard touchdown on his 33rd birthday. That was so annoying.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
freaking announcer's way. Did you hear the announcer call us the Redskins?
Yeah, he.
That, between that and the Kyle Fuller, which it was Kendall, calling Kendall Fuller Kyle Fuller all game. It was just top-tier ESPN.
Bunch of disgusting ESPN, disgusting people.
Come on.
Get your shit together over there. God. Well, let's do this. I know a lot of people probably really enjoyed that. At least any Washington fan that's listening, everyone else probably just zoned us out, but let's talk some hoops real quick. You know, I've been sprinkling in hoops. I've had, you know, my NBA in under 2 minutes the past couple of weeks because, you know, we're still early in the season, but there is a lot of really impressive stuff going on. This year we have the Suns who just won't stop winning. We have the Warriors who are incredible, 18-2, the Suns 17-3. And you know, this podcast is going to come out tomorrow, but as we record this tonight, the Warriors and the Suns meet. What a game that should be.
Yeah.
As a Jazz fan, this is really, I want to get your perspective here. You know, the Jazz had, They had some down games, but it seems like they've kind of figured things out.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about the team? You know, we're 21 games into the year for them, 14-7. They're sitting pretty snug in that third spot as of right now, but how are you feeling about the Jazz?
I think 14-7 with the way we've played is actually better than kind of like how you kind of get a vibe from the team.
Mm-hmm.
What was worrisome for a while there was just like something was off. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't want to say like full on chemistry issues, but like there wasn't a lot of effort. The team kind of seemed disinterested. And I think that's because the last 3 years in the regular season, this team's been like full bore jets on, like we're going 100 miles an hour every single game. I think it just takes like a toll and they need to find that desire, I guess, to play every single game hard. And that, you know, that starts with your leaders. So that starts with Donovan, that starts with Rudy, that starts with Mike.
Yeah.
And I think they've readjusted in the last few games. It's like, okay, now we're beating teams by 15 to 20 points. Now, you know, our guys are having fun on the court again. So trying to find our identity into this season, taking as long as it had, was a little worrisome. But the record that we have after going through that is, you know what, that we're 4.5 games out of first. Warriors are on a tear. Are we going to catch them? I don't know. But now I feel like, okay, we're in a mindset that we can play against any team in the league. And that's what's important.
Yeah. when you look at the rest of the West, I mean, obviously the Warriors are scary. The Suns are scary. But after that, I mean, the Lakers, sure, they have great players. They don't look right whatsoever. And maybe they just haven't figured it out yet. LeBron's missed quite a few games, you know, and last week I had talked to Sebastian about this and he said, you know what, they'll figure it out. But he, we all know our guy, the special correspondent, Sebastian, will ride or die. If LeBron was on the Thunder right now, he would say they're going to figure it out. Yeah. But any team in the West minus the Suns and the Warriors there, are a cause for worry for you? You know, I thought the Nuggets, would figure it out. But you get MPJ. He kind of had a, he wasn't playing well this season anyways, but he's out the rest of the season from what it looks like, has to have that back surgery. So is there anyone else that, that somewhat scares you in the West?
No, I think the Nuggets, like you said, like any night you play the Joker, it's scary, right? Like the dude is absolutely incredible. So he's been out for a few games. I'm interested to see if that team turns it around a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's kind of like a three-horse race right now. What scares... So the Suns, I think in a seven-game series right now, doesn't scare me. What scares me is Steph Curry, man.
Ugh.
I mean, they don't have Klay yet. They don't even have Klay, and they've lost two games.
Yeah, no Klay. And, you know, I brought this up before, no Wiseman. You know, and not to say he's a total game changer, but he's a good player, and he's long, and he can disrupt stuff in the middle. And he's pretty athletic. Like, you know, we make fun of white receivers in the NFL saying they're sneaky athletic, but like James Wiseman's sneaky athletic. Like you were to look at him, you wouldn't. Yeah. So I didn't see this coming with the Warriors being this good. I thought they would be up there. I thought they'd be in, you know, the top five for sure. But then again, the rest of the West, the Mavericks, just they're hit or miss.
Don't scare me. They don't scare me.
I don't think Porzingis, I mean, he's been playing well, but Porzingis and Luka, and then just a bunch of other guys, right? Like I like Brunson, sure. Hardaway Jr.'s hit or miss. Maxi Kleber's hit or miss. You get the Clippers without Kawhi. I can't take them seriously as of yet anyways. Paul George is playing well. Somehow, I talked shit about the Minnesota Timberwolves 3 weeks
ago. They're fun, man.
And they've come on somehow. I thought it was time for them to move Kat, but here we are.
Anthony Edwards is, he is, first of all, he's an athletic freak.
Yeah.
Fun player. I mean, he's going to be a guy where he's going to take his shots, whether he's on or off. And I'm sure fans, when they watch him, like, oh my gosh, he's off tonight. And he's going to go 1 from 9 for 3 and whatever. But first of all, he's a weirdo. Like his interviews, this kid's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like he just kind of like walks to the beat of his own drum, kind of an enigma personality.
Yeah.
But like he's competitive. And I just feel like the competitive nature somehow in that team has flipped around. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, if your Staples Cat at this point, is Cat a winner? We don't know that.
Yeah.
In basketball, it's different than football. Obviously, one guy makes a huge difference. You just need to at some point, like, look in the mirror and ask if your superstar is just a winner.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if he's the guy. But they're a fun frisky team. There's a lot of fun young teams in the NBA right now.
Right.
Then the Grizzlies. How long is Ja out?
I don't know. I was trying to find that out prior to this, but I'm not 100% sure.
They're not a team that I don't think will lose to in a 7-game series, but they're a team that, like, when you play them in 7 games, you're going to be wiped. Whether you win 4 in a row or you win in 6, you're going to be wiped out after playing that team. They're really fun.
Just like the first round of last year. Yeah. So the latest update is he's going to miss at least a couple of weeks, but who knows exactly.
Could have been a lot worse. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you could have had a full on torn ligament. It turns out it's just a sprain.
Yeah.
The Kings, they don't win games, but they play hard.
The Kings are one of those teams where, like, you know, it's 2005 and you're playing NBA 2K and you get the most athletic, good guards and just guys that can shoot, but you just never fucking win.
Yeah.
Somehow
it just comes down, I think, to like guys at the end of games, like, can they win or can they not win? You know, just like winning plays all around. And they just seem to slide off there. They don't really have, who's their vet? Harrison Barnes. That's like, the guy that's been around. But I mean, I think Davion Mitchell every ounce of dog in him that you want as a player.
Yep.
De'Aaron Fox has a lot of dog in him. He has that personality where it's like, I don't care if you're Steph Curry. I don't care if you're Garland on Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, I guess Garland's good, but you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, I'm sticking my chest out. I'm going to play against you. Like, that whole team has that identity. They just don't know how to win basketball games. And it could come down to coaching. It could just come down to, you know, a few roster holes, but they're hard to play when you play them. Obviously Rockets suck. Pelicans suck. Zion.
Oh man.
Zion's eating his career away.
I hate it too. Cause you know, I love Zion.
Yeah.
And I hate Duke basketball, but man, he needs to get, I'm guessing, just better people around him. Not in a sense of on the court. I'm thinking of people that are really going to, take care of his career, like get a good chef, he just has to learn from like guys like LeBron and Chris Paul. Like, they're 36 years old. They shouldn't be in the league and playing to the level that they're playing, but it's because of the amount of time they've put in their bodies, the amount of money, and just, you know, figuring things out. And it's like, damn, I think Zion had just had this freakish athletic ability. And, you know, as a kid, you know, I mean, in any aspect, you jump, you come down, you know, all that, it doesn't hurt. It's when you, when you get into your, like your mid 20s, you start to think, oh man, that kind of feels weird.
Yeah.
Your 30s hit and you're like, why the fuck can't I get out of bed right now? I can't imagine 40s and 50s. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say it right now, but he definitely has to get the right people around him.
And like your body as a man, like your body doesn't stop changing until like your early 20s. And you kind of like hit like, okay, here I am as what I'm going to be like as a human for the rest of my life. Yeah. I'm sure Zion used to be able to eat anything he wanted and stay fit and skinny. And, you know, now his body's physiology is coming down to earth. He's eating. I mean,
probably just eating the same amount, you know,
him being a spokesperson for Mountain Dew is not a great look when you're overweight, but that's besides the point. They're paying him. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he's probably just not used to like having to think about his diet. So like you said, these athletes, the Tom Brady's, the LeBrons, Chris Paul, the guys that last forever, they realized at an early age, invest money into your body because that's the moneymaker. And hopefully Zion figures it out. Because like you said, I don't want to miss out on like all the highlight plays. Do I love Zion? Like, he's fun to watch. I don't know if he's like my favorite player.
Yeah.
I like, obviously right now, Jaws seemed to be the better pick just because of availability. But,
sure. Yeah.
But like, I want to see Zion do crazy dunks and stuff. I don't want that to go away.
Just a fun, like, I mean, he's like, he can play that point forward role, like kind of a throwback, but more athletic.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, in a nutshell, that was me, you know, back in the day. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
less athletic. But yeah, I'm right there with you. You know, you have a team like the Spurs where they're just kind of in limbo, right?
Yeah, nothing there, whatever.
Yeah. The Rockets are, like you said, very, very bad. They should finish last in the NBA unless, now let's move over to the East. Mm. Unless my Orlando Magic or the Detroit Pistons can be worse. And
hey, I sent you a text. The best 5-man lineup in the league, at least as of last week, was the Orlando Magic 5. So I don't know what's going on with you guys.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. After that starting five, it's dismal. And then when one of those guys is out, i.e. Cole Anthony, they just don't know how to run an offense.
Yeah.
So it's bad. There's a lot to look forward to, but I say this multiple times in my fandom of Orlando that, oh yeah, we got some good guys. And then, you know, 3 years down the road, they all get traded. We tear it all down because we're in the eighth seed in the East twice. So let's move to the East though and talk about teams that might actually matter towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. you know, the Nets right up there, number one, 14-6. The Bulls have been surprising. I think they have a good roster. No doubt, but I didn't see them playing this well. They're in second, Heat in third, tied with the Wizards. I think the Wizards are going to eventually come back down to earth. Yeah. They were riding really high. Kuzma wore that ugly ass sweater. Then they lost like 3 out of 4 after that.
Yeah, they're 5-5 in their last 10. That's not ideal.
The Bucks are on the upswing, which we all knew was coming at some point. They're in fifth. You got the Hornets in sixth. I don't really believe in the Hornets either. I think at some point they'll level out, be lower, you know, eighth or ninth seed.
Yeah, they'll be a first round exit, I think.
Yeah.
But they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, because you still have teams, you know, you have towards the bottom, and I don't want to say the bottom, but the 11th seed in the East right now, the Celtics, 10th is the Hawks. Cavs have been sneaky good. Nobody saw them being this good, but that's not going to last. You even have the Sixers and eight.
Right.
But a lot of injuries. Yeah. Injuries. Yeah. And then also them just dealing with the Ben Simmons thing when they should have, I don't know how many times they should have just fucking traded him in the summer and you have a player ready to go. But here we are. I still don't understand why Portland hasn't pulled the trigger moving Dame. Like, he's going to want to leave soon. I know he says he wants to be there.
That team's so checked out, dude. They're so...
Yeah.
They never made the leap, and they're kind of like on the back end of everyone, and it's just mm-hmm. like, they're just checked out.
Like with that game last night, I won't lie, I didn't get to watch much of the Jazz Portland game, but you know, I had a friend text me, and he was like, shout out to Daniel Tate, because every time I say friend, he's like, oh, you can't say my name on the podcast. But in any event, he said, you know, Dame Lillard just looks like he doesn't give a shit. And I'm like, well, would yeah. you? Like, I would be done at this point. Like, just trade him. And I know he said he wants to stay, but that Ben Simmons for Dame Lillard trade, I think, makes a lot of sense for both sides. Maybe throw in someone like Maxey. Then Dame really has a legitimate shot in the East with Embiid, like, with Tobias Harris.
Like the best matchup you'd want, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And you still have Tobias Harris. You know, you've got you got good guys around Dame to supplement that play when he has a down night, but. What do I know? You know what I mean? What do I know?
What
I think
know,
that's the way to go. I think that's the way to go.
Has that been like floated around at all?
The only thing that I had ever read that was floated around was McCollum and one other player for Simmons and not Maxey, but Thibault. So
this is interesting. This is the first time a GM has kind of like against the player empowerment movement is just kind of like, nah. And so far it seems like the trail it's blazing is it's not a good idea to hold on to him and just say no, because.
Oh, it's an awful Simmons, move. Yeah,
realistically, cause you start looking in the mirror too, of like, or not in the mirror, but you start dissecting what this kid can do.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a very flawed basketball player, great defensive player, but offensively he's very flawed. Mm-hmm. And to the point of like, well, what is he worth?
Yeah.
Is he worth CJ McCollum and a few picks and another player?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause he can't shoot.
Right. I think you just try to find, you try to build the rock. Like, so he's what? 23 years old. 22
he's young.
Years old.
He's still really young.
You, even if he can't shoot, you build a team around him because he can get to the cup. He can guard anybody, mm-hmm. you know, 1 through 5.
Great passer.
Good passer. If you have real shooters around him, I would kill to have him in Orlando.
So,
I mean, we don't have shooters. Don't get me wrong, but I would still like to have him in Orlando.
I just feel like here, don't have shooters, really, dude. Here's the thing: I feel like Ben Simmons and Giannis at the core are very similar players, where they're just big, almost centers that play point guard, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis is a guy who gives a shit. Ben Simmons is a guy who's so self-conscious. Like, Simmons doesn't shoot because he's scared of what people are going to say about it. Giannis's shot sucked.
Yeah.
He worked on it and it's honestly passable now. And he's a finals MVP. He's a league MVP. You know, it kind of just goes to show at what point does character come in too, when you have like a really raw talent, because
sure,
man, Simmons for me, just his attitude kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, he's so still very young. I think he can still have a salvageable career for because sure. of how talented he is.
He's still going to be all-stars and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he's still, in my eyes, he's a top 30 player, right? And if there's not, you know, if you can get one of the top 30 players on your team, like, you probably should do it. But again, I just, you know, I'm like an old man yelling at a fucking cloud with this whole thing, because it's just not going to happen. Apparently Daryl Morey is, you know, the guy who used to just make trades and do all kinds of shit with the analytics. And now he's just kind of sitting on his hands in Philly.
Taking L's,
you know, because the thing is, if Embiid's hurt, who does that team really have to lean on? Like, Maxey is a good player. He's not a guy that's going to go out and just win games. Nope. Tobias Harris is very similar, right? And they have a lot of money invested in Harris, which I love Tobias, but not for the amount that he's getting paid. So I don't know. I guess we'll do this. right now you have to make a decision. Okay. I mean, we're 21 games into the year for most teams. Who do you have in your finals right now? Way too early finals predictions is what we'll call this part.
Realistically, if just things were trending, I would probably put the Suns versus the Bucks.
Yeah. Just a repeat of last year, huh?
Yeah. I that might be a boring take, but like if I was a betting man,
yeah.
I think Golden State's magic right now, again, don't get me wrong, Steph is a freak of nature and he scares me more than if I were playing seven games against the Sun just for the X factor side of things. but like, if you're just looking at like a grinded out, you know, we have to play seven game series. I think the Suns get there. And the Bucks shooting too. They have a lot of good shooters for like
yeah.
half the cost of anybody else.
Right.
So they're going to come around. They just got Boogie too.
Yeah.
Come on, let's get Boogie a ring.
he's going to get one at some point in his career.
But I think in maybe 3 weeks from now,
mm-hmm.
if you ask me again, if the Jazz start putting together what they're putting together, I could see us making a run at it. I think the Rudy Gay acquisition is exactly what we needed.
I do too.
For those seven game, like they start going small against us. All right, we'll put Rudy Gay out there. He's almost, you know, he's really long, 6'8" player, can shoot. And that just defeats what you're trying to do against us. And then,
you know, I've said it a bunch of times, everything the Jazz did in the offseason, I think was perfect for what happened to them last year in the playoffs. They did exactly what they needed to do before the season started. I had picked Bucks, Jazz in the finals. Here's the hard thing, right? Things change. I think if I have to make a pick right now, I do feel comfortable with the Bucks out of the East. The sneaky team to me, the team that could possibly fuck that up a little bit would be the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
I love the Nets and I never want to count Kevin Durant out, but even though they're the number one team in the East right now, I don't know if when it comes down to it, they don't have enough other guys. Right. And I don't know if you put everything on Durant, if he can hold up.
Yeah. And is Kyrie going to play? Is he going to play this year, you think? And if he does, that changes things, but who knows?
If Kyrie plays, it changes everything. But right now, I would say the Bucks. Sneaky team would be the Heat. In the West, like, I just, again, without Klay, without Wiseman, and how just incredible the Warriors have looked through 20 games, I don't know how I can go against them. Now, I still think the Jazz have a perfect route to the finals. We're only a quarter of the way done. When this podcast comes out, it's going to be December 1st. So it's obviously way too early to talk about this, but you know, it's fun to talk about. So I would say the Warriors Bucks as of right now, but I can still see the Jazz doing it somehow, man. I don't know. I counted the Suns out, not thinking that they wouldn't be a decent team or even top five team, but I just didn't see this 16 games in a row. Like, that's insane. Wow. And it may come to a close tonight against the Warriors. We'll see. The season's been fun so far. Rookies have been fun. I'm already scouting for my Magic next in the draft. We got the kid out of Duke, Banchero, who is incredible. Like,
is he fresh Roshman?
I don't even know who you would compare him to, because he's a power forward, like 6'10", I believe. He can handle the ball enough. He can shoot from anywhere. Really smart defensive player as well. I think he's going to be the number one pick for the last 4 or 5 years. Everyone who like looks at all this and studies these high school kids have been saying Chet Holmgren will be the number one pick, and I think he's probably going to be two. I don't know if have you seen Chet Holmgren by chance?
Or Gonzaga? I've heard the name. I've definitely heard the name.
Just Google his picture or a video after we're done here, and you're going to say, well, no, do the picture first and then Google the video. Because you look at this kid. He's like seven foot.
Yeah, I definitely know this kid.
Got to be 150 pounds soaking wet, but he can hoop. But in that matchup against Duke, man, Banchero just looked really good.
This kid's going to go number one.
You should see him play. He can really play.
Really?
He really can.
He is going to get, man.
Yep.
I mean, he makes skinny ass Rudy Gobert look like he's freaking built like Shaq.
Yeah. And he makes Poku look like Ivan Drago.
He's literally smaller than Giannis was when he came into the league.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how he translates to the NBA. But I'm telling you, he can shoot. He can dribble. He's a guard in a 7 foot, 160 pound body.
Chet Holmgren too. He sounds like a freaking asshole lacrosse frat boy. Parents paid for everything.
Chet. I've never met a Chet in my life where I was like, oh yeah, he's a cool dude. But maybe he is. I don't know.
Daddy, may I take the Mercedes out for a taste tonight?
Yeah, I think his dad played hoops too. His dad is a bigger dude as well. So,
jeez. Yeah, I got some highlights to watch. So who's the Duke guy again? I see a picture of him together here.
Yeah, Paolo Banchero.
That's a cooler name. Chet Holmgren.
Much, much cooler name. He looks cooler. He's got the tattoos. He actually has a build.
Yeah, there's actually definition instead of just like
6'10", 250. Yeah, he's a big dude. But he's good as well. Really good. So there's a lot of really good talent available early in the draft this upcoming year. So, you know, I'm on my job already. Just sending notes to the Orlando Magic management. So,
man, I can't do college hoops like you do. It's much more time consuming.
I love it. I always have. Like, sometimes there's games that I'm not going to lie. Like, I can't watch every game, right? Like, if it's two really shitty, like,
it's hard whack teams,
I probably can't do it.
I hate how it's like zone defenses, swing, swing, shoot, brick, sure. Swing, swing, shoot, brick, swing, swing, shoot. Oh, he made one. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to watch Duke. You got to watch Gonzaga. There's a lot of good players for Gonzaga. There's a guy on Gonzaga named Drew Timmy. It looks like someone, you know, that like just hangs out at the frat house and then is like, shit, I got a game in 20 minutes and runs over and throws his headband on. And
This dude, Barstool Sports, is going to love this guy.
Yeah. He has to be their favorite player in any event. All right, Kurt. Well, thank you for your time, bro. I appreciate it. You know, hoops is heating up, so we'll obviously have you back on more, but I appreciate your time. Anything else you wanted to throw out there before we head out?
Shout out to the end of the year, guys. What a 2021 is almost as bad as 2020,
man.
Get vaccinated, don't be an asshole.
There you go. Exactly. That needs to be on a shirt. I'm sure it is at some point.
Probably
somewhere.
Go Jazz.
There you go. All right, Kurt. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy that Suns Warriors matchup tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Peace. All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby. You know what time it is. I'm just going to take these off because it won't even matter if I have those on. All right, week 12. Thanksgiving is past. And we had some good games, and boy, did we have some bad games. Let's hoop. First of all, how was your Thanksgiving, my friend?
It was good, man. Exhausting, you know. Yeah. I mean, Thursday, always solid. Just sit, watch football, eat good, drink better. And then my wife's family, they always go up to Wolf Creek Resort up in Eden by Pineview Reservoir up there. So we went up there Friday through Sunday, and I'm just saying, two small area condos with 15 people, it gets a little stuffy. It's a little bunched up, and I just wanted to just relax, but those beds are not comfortable. But other than that, I mean, so exhausting, and then get back to regular life and
get thrown back into
it. Feel fat as shit because you ate so much all weekend. But how was yours?
I can't complain. I ate a lot of food. I didn't eat as much as I thought I would, so that's always good. I drank about the amount I thought I would. But it was good all in all, man. I always love Thanksgiving. My mom still cooks like there's, you know, 50 of us when there isn't.
Yeah, that's how my wife's family is. And it doesn't matter what the occasion is. If we're just there for like a Sunday dinner, there's enough for 20 people and there's eight. You're like, hey, a little excessive. I'll have leftovers until Thursday.
Yeah, awesome. Leftovers until I see you again.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get into it. We woke up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed on Thanksgiving morning, just knowing that the Detroit Lions were going to win this game. Chicago Bears had other plans, though. I don't even know really what to say. You know, you have Dalton, 317 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Mooney, 123 yards. We thought, I mean, we thought 13 to 14, a minute 46, Lions roar. We were all happy for, you know, our friend Sean. He's going to get a win on Thanksgiving. Their organization
I was with him Thanksgiving morning, and he wasn't even confident. He was like, I already know. And then my buddy George, he's a Lions fan too, and we were playing football with him too. And I was like, no, the Lions are going to win. Yeah, right. The Lions are going to lie. That's what those fuckers are going to do. I'm like, well, you were right.
Awful. They, you know, they. So minute 46, Lions up by one, and then somehow, some way, the Bears go down, get the 28-yard field goal. Just a punch in the gut for Detroit on Thanksgiving. But it is what it is. This is their one game of the year where everyone watches.
Where we're all forced to watch yeah. the Detroit Lions play.
And there it was. Lions move to 0-10-1. I think pretty much locking up the first pick in the draft. I don't think, you know, there's a way for them to win a couple games.
They would have to win out, yeah. I think. Like,
and hope that no one else wins. Bears move to 4-7, so... Poor Detroit. Then our good buddy Chacon. You know, Thanksgiving comes for him, and I know he's terrified every single year. This game, Raiders win in OT 36-33 over the Cowboys. You know, I'm on Twitter just kind of not really okay, yeah, I'm fucking with Cowboys fans on Twitter. And there's this big Twitter guy on there, he's a huge Cowboys fan. DC, I think is his handle. Tons of followers, and so he puts up after last night's game, oh, Washington thinks they can win the NFC East. So I just put a gif of Taylor Heineke sitting there smiling, and I said, yeah, and with this guy. And so that went back and forth for a while. You know, a lot of Cowboys fans complaining about the referees, the flags in this game. But what
which
do you,
I get, there was a lot of penalties called.
Right.
20, did they get, I think it was. 20, 28 between the two teams.
There you go.
The penalty count was 14-14. Mm-hmm. And if you go back, like if anybody wants to complain, my thing is, okay, well, show me the ones that weren't legit.
Yeah.
If you can show me 3 to 5 that weren't legit, okay, we can say the rest had a hand in it.
Yeah.
Every one of those PIs was PI.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the big ones.
Right.
So the Cowboys had more yards. Like Brown had an epic bad night. Like that's as bad a night you can have as a DB. And
yeah.
It's already, like I said, like he's already playing the hardest position on the field because playing corner in the NFL is no joke.
Oh yeah.
And he just had a bad night, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed every second of it and the aftermath of it. Like it was pure comedy. So yeah. I was thankful as on Thanksgiving go. As some might say.
Cowboys moved to 7-4. They, you know, they've been having a rough go. This week they do get Cooper and Lamb back, but defense didn't look good.
They lose their O-line coach, their assistant O-line coach, their head coach, and there's others that are out because of COVID mm-hmm. this week.
Right.
I don't think the assistant O-line coach makes a big difference, but the fact that the main O-line coach is gone, right. that is a problem because now it's all on Kevin Moore mm-hmm. or Kellen Moore to mm-hmm. figure it out
to do everything
during the game.
Yeah. Yeah, so 36-33, Vegas, who me and Chacon crossed off last week. Or no. We crossed off the Broncos. We'll get to them, too, because they fucking won. but Vegas moves to 6-5, Dallas 7-4. It's going to get interesting, this stretch that we're getting into for the NFC East. I'm just going to say that. Then the nightcap. Why even talk about it? Bills just dismantle the Saints so badly that Taysom Hill is going to be the starting quarterback this week, which... Jesus Christ, he should play because he's getting paid.
Well, yeah. I mean, once he signed that contract, and I was like, why isn't he? I was surprised they didn't put him in at some point in that game.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Once it was in the fourth quarter, I was like, you might as well get the guy some run. Get yeah. him loosened up because he's the guy next yeah. week. You're not going to give him any practice reps. I mean, he gets practice reps, but NFL practice reps aren't what they used to be.
Sure,
so
yeah.
get him some fourth quarter run and mm-hmm. – you might be lucky enough to go against the Bills' backups at that point to
yeah.
ease into it. Like I was amazed that they didn't put him in there. But, yeah, him going forward will be interesting to see. I think he's an incredible football player. I just don't think he's a good quarterback.
Exactly. He's a Swiss Army knife. But I think, you know, they get Alvin Kamara back. And we'll obviously get into this week's preview. But they should have Alvin Kamara back this week. So that may change things. So, anyways, 31-6, the Bills win. over the Saints in New Orleans. Just ugly there. When we get into Sunday, this game, I had the Bengals winning. I didn't think the Bengals were going to demolish the Steelers, 41-10.
It was 31-3 at halftime.
Yeah, like,
that's absurd.
Joe Mixon had 165 yards rushing and two touchdowns. I don't care who you're playing. If you're letting a running back get 165 yards rushing, you're probably not going to win the game. Other than that, T. Higgins, 114 yards receiving, one touchdown. Najee Harris, 23 yards. Obviously, they got a little issue with the run game there. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't look great at all. Pretty much throws a touchdown when nobody gives a shit. 2 minutes and 59 seconds left.
Fantasy owners care.
I did, because I actually had Pat Freiermuth as my tight end.
See?
But yeah, Bengals moved to 7-4. Pittsburgh 5-5-1. Pittsburgh, and we're going to debate this in a little while, might be my selection in the AFC to cross off. But anything you want to take from this game in particular?
No, it's funny when those games happen, because you're just like, what is happening? How is another professional team getting blown out this bad? Like, it happened to the Packers week one. I was like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
And like, I've got Steelers fans on Facebook, and they're just posting laughing. I was like, that's all you can do is like, move on to next week.
Mm-hmm. Weird game. Next game we'll look at, the Bucks beat the Colts in Indy 38-31, which it was a relatively competitive game.
Colts jumped out on them early, which surprised me when I first turned on. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
Right, because at halftime it was 24-14 Colts, and you know, in the second half they just totally fucking forgot they had the best running back in the league, and Taylor didn't get any run. He only had 16 carries the whole game. If you're winning against the Bucks, you just need to run the ball a little bit more. Fournette, 100 yards, three touchdowns, but what do you take away from this
even
game?
Even if you're just forcing the issue, like, if you can limit the amount of times that Tom Brady touches the football, your odds exponentially go up in winning. And so it was weird. Like, I know they got out on him early, like throwing the ball well, but at the end of the day, you still have Carson Wentz, so you know some dumb shit's gonna happen.
Yep. Three touchdowns, two picks for old Wentz, 306 yards passing. Brady didn't really do much, by Brady standards. 226 yards, one touchdown, one pick. Fournette, again, 100 yards, three touchdowns. Gronk looks like Gronk in fucking, I don't know, 2014. Seven receptions, 123 yards. Bucks move to 8-3. Colts sitting at 6-6. Next game we'll touch on quickly. The Dolphins beat the tar out of the Panthers 33-10. Cam's back on the bench. Dolphins are now 5-7. And, you know, for what it's worth, we crossed them off a couple weeks ago.
I still feel good about standing by that.
I do too, but I'm just saying they've won three in a row since we decided to cross those guys off.
Hey, the podcast must have heard jinx us. Is a real thing. Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot to take away from this game. The biggest note, I guess you would say, Christian McCaffrey getting hurt, being done for the season. He is such an elite player, but the last 2 years can just not stay healthy. So, you know, and maybe it's because they use him all game long.
I think I've said it on here, is like the amount of times he touches the ball, like, it just wears on you. Like, you got big, fast, strong dudes hitting you repeatedly, especially at the running back position.
Yeah.
The more you touch it, same thing with Henry. Mm-hmm. Like, when he got hurt, like, that has to have something to do with stress on the body eventually wearing down.
Right. Next game, we'll get into the Pats. Man. I was saying this with Chacon last week. I think the Pats are like the real deal. Like, they look really good.
They look really good.
They demolished the Titans 36-13 in Foxborough. Both teams are now 8-4, but you have the Patriots sitting atop the AFC. Patriots have won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games in a row since they lost an OT to the Cowboys. So, scary. What are your thoughts on this game?
I mean, the Titans didn't have, obviously, Henry. Mm-hmm. Brown didn't play. Jones didn't play. Right. And I saw something a buddy of mine sent me that, like, the Titans, are the most injury riddled team in the league. They got like some like 22 guys on IR or something.
That's
it's some absurd amount of injuries. So yeah, they're missing a lot of guys, but that's part of it, right?
And yeah.
You still would think like where they're sitting at, like they're on top of their division. Like if they can get healthy down the stretch, I wouldn't worry about them because they're all but a lock to get in the playoffs. Still.
Yeah.
So you know, and that's the goal: get in the dance and see what happens.
Yeah. Especially if they, I mean, there's reports that are saying that Derrick Henry might be back. You know, for that, and if there's one guy that I believe can come back from a broken bone in his foot. That's that guy.
What about my guy? 12. He's got a broken bone in his foot. He showed it to you on live TV.
That's very true. We'll get to him here in just a minute. Patriots sitting atop the AFC look great. Defense looks good. Mac Jones is coming along, you know, pretty well. You'd have to think now he's the offensive rookie of the year.
I think he's definitely the front runner for it.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase still in there with how the Bengals have been doing, but at a receiver, production has very little to do with what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he's only going to be able to take advantage of so much. Jones touches it every single play.
Exactly. And it's funny, there was a clip, so it showed Mac Jones like 2 days after the draft talking and like in an interview and how like energetic and happy he was. And then it showed him 2 weeks ago and he sounds just like
Belichick.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, we just need to go out there and we did some good things, but there's a lot of things we can improve on. It's like, holy shit, he's a Patriot now.
Yeah, he's locked in.
Yeah. Next game we'll go to, I didn't see this coming, and I don't know what to make of Philadelphia now. They were a run-heavy team. They go into New York, lose to the Giants, 13-7, which is just bad on all fronts. Hurts throws three picks.
And he'd been playing well.
He'd been playing really well. Runs the ball for 77 yards. Daniel Jones, nothing crazy here. 202 yards, one touchdown. Barkley, 40 yards rushing. There was a play towards the end of the game where it looked like Hurts had a...
He hit Jalen Rager in the face.
Yes, exactly.
Two of four plays, it hit him right in the face in the end zone. So, like...
That's looking like a really like that's some shit. They didn't take Justin Jefferson and they took Rager. Like,
and it was like the pick right before.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, could you have made a worse decision there?
But you never know. Like, would Justin Jefferson be what he is in Minnesota with the quarterback play in Philly?
Sure. Yeah. Just seems like there's a talent gap. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
The Giants moved to 4-7, and Philly is now 5-7. The next game, Falcons just edge out the Jags, 21-14. Shout out to my guy for coming back from injury, Cordell Patterson. Just
difference maker.
Just disgusting. He's a disgusting player on the field. Did really well. 108 yards rushing, two touchdowns. And, I mean, we knew that Atlanta was going to win. I said if as long as they have Patterson, they'll be fine. Jacksonville's just, you know. Not much to expect from these guys.
The bar is very low.
They've won two games. Sunshine, one touchdown, one
Urban
pick.
Meyer heard me say bar and his ears perked up.
Huh? Is there a blonde? next game we will get into another one that I predicted incorrectly. The Jets go into Houston and win 21-14. Your boy, O'Roy, Zach Wilson. I don't even know who scored in this game. I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch it. But looking at the stat line, Zach Wilson had a pick and 145 yards. Let me get down to the scores. We had a couple of field goals. We had a two-yard touchdown run by Austin Walter. Yeah, you all know him. Four-yard run by your boy Zach Wilson. I was pretty surprised, to say the least. I thought Houston had looked better in past weeks, but... just couldn't get it done. But they are sitting there with two wins right where we predicted them. So they have to lose out for us to get that correct. And I think we had the Jets at four wins.
Yeah.
So
I had the Jets at four. Yeah. I remember that. I remember that one specifically. So they're one away. They got to just pick up one over these last few weeks.
They can do it. They can sneak it in. Another game. Man, I just feel like a broken record. The Chargers go into Denver and
shit the bed,
lose 28-13. Denver moves to 6-5, tied now with the Chargers as well as the Raiders. I mean, Herbert throws two picks. No, zero running game from the Chargers. Didn't Herbert was
like 40 against the Steelers the week before.
Exactly. What is happening?
And then they go into Denver and score 13.
What is happening? And here's the thing. They have running backs. They have Austin Eckler.
Justin Jackson, the backup's not bad.
Exactly. Herbert's the leading rusher with 36 yards on four attempts. How the hell does that happen? I don't know, but I'll tell you this much. I can't figure out the Chargers.
I didn't watch any of this one because the Packers game was on at the same time, and I didn't bother flipping back and forth.
Yeah. I was on the red zone at this time, so I was locked in to most of the games, at least in the red zone, and the Chargers just – something's wrong, and I don't know what it is. Herbert, for all intents and purposes, looks good most of the time. Has a game like this where he throws two picks – but still, Broncos, I don't know. That's the team that me and Chacon crossed off were the Broncos. And now I'm like, I don't know. I still feel comfortable with them not.
The Broncos got the Chiefs this week. So
If
they beat the Chiefs, then you might have to pull out the old eraser.
The bad thing is we do it in permanent marker. Anyways, let's get to the next game. Your Green Bay Packers just look great against the Rams. Win 36-28. Move to 9-3. Rams fall to 7-4. Headline here: toe injury can't stop Rodgers. 307 yards, two touchdowns.
Ran in a touchdown too.
Yep. 104 receiving yards for Adams. Cooper Kupp, for his numbers, has kind of an off game, 96 yards receiving.
And he didn't touch the ball until later. He didn't get targeted very much early. And Odell got hurt. I don't know how bad his back is. Packers defense still made me nervous for parts of the game where they'll give up the booty for free once in a while. But, you know, it was enough to win. And when I was on here last time, I was like, hey, the Packers going into the bye week, if they can win one of the two.
Yeah,
I thought the Vikings game would have been the win.
Right.
And so now you look back on it, like, and defense shit in the bed and blowing that one, they could have gone 2-0. And then they're just they're the number one seed in the NFC with not tied to anybody else. So it would have been good. But it was good. And Rodgers, hopefully that toe heals up and we don't have to see it on TV again.
Well, it's his pinky toe, correct?
Yeah.
Because when me and you were texting about it, I was like, oh, shit, he has a broken toe. And I'm like, well, I guess it really depends on which toe it is. Like the pinky, like, just cut it off.
I heard somewhere once that like the pinky toe is like what stabilizes balance or something like that. Like something weird, like it does matter.
Interesting.
Like you'd be better off losing one of the middle ones than the pinky toe.
Huh.
Given that situation. I can't remember where or when I had heard that. And if I heard it on the internet, it's probably full of shit anyway.
We'll get our fact checkers on it. We'll get an email next week about this. next game. Again, another one that I called wrong. The Niners beat Minnesota in San Francisco 34-26. All of a sudden, the Niners are in the playoff picture, right? Who saw that coming a couple weeks ago? Not me. Garoppolo, nothing crazy. One pick, one touchdown, 230 yards. Mitchell runs for 133 yards, one touchdown. Dalvin Cook gets hurt in the game, looked pretty bad. He's out of, I believe, a couple weeks. I didn't see the newest update, but so it's a few weeks. Kirk Cousins, 238 yards, two touchdowns. I don't know. I mean, and another note to take from this. Deebo Samuel looked like he was really hurt. Looks like he's only going to be out 2 weeks, 1 to 2 weeks, which is good.
They can't afford to lose him with his diet, because he's done everything for them. He's been their offense.
Right. They're in the running game, passing. It's pretty crazy how they've just switched that up, and he's really taken over. But yeah, San Francisco right there now. I know that pisses my boy Robert Chacon off, but, you know, I didn't see it coming either, to be honest with you. I thought they were kind of down and out, but anything you want to touch on this game?
No. I mean, anytime the Vikings lose, it's a win for me. I mean, I didn't get my chance to talk shit the week before, so
that's right.
I'll do it now behind everybody's back.
The Sunday night game was just a game of I don't want to win. You win. Four interceptions for Lamar Jackson. Baltimore does get the win, 16-10. Baker, one touchdown, 247 yards. The running game for Cleveland, non-existent. Leading rusher was Kareem Hunt, 20 yards rushing. So,
and his dad's Facebook post. Did you see that?
No, God.
His dad hopped on Facebook to talk Baker shit on Baker
or Hunt.
Hunt's dad Jesus talking Christ. Shit on Baker on Facebook and then had to go defend himself because people were like, look, you need to relax. And he's like, no, I'm just saying what it is. This is just my opinion. If you don't like it, get off my page. And like, oh, fuck. Like, at this point, like,
I think we said this 2 weeks
ago. Baker's got to leave Cleveland for his own mental stability.
Right.
Like, that guy gets ripped apart no matter what. Like,
yeah.
Was it his fault they lost? I don't know. Did he play a part in them losing? Yeah, of course. He's the quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's not like they've been good around him all year.
No. I mean, you have Odell Beckham, who we all know, you know, what happened there. He has overthrown some receivers in the games I've watched, but he's also hit some receivers right in the fucking hands, and they just dropped it. So, yeah, probably time for Baker to part ways in Cleveland. But who knows? They'll probably keep him there, you know, for another 5 years, and we'll be having this conversation.
Here's the other thing is, like, Cleveland, they're like, I don't know any Browns fans personally, but they have a fan base
because
their fans go crazy. Do they not remember the string of years with Tim Couch?
Oh my God.
And
15 guys.
Yeah, whoever the
fuck. My guy Jason Campbell left Washington and went there.
Yeah, whoever the hell else they had there, like, it was like 16 starting quarterbacks over the span of 10 years or something like that. Do they not remember how unstable they were?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to complain now, like, because they suddenly expect to be great? Like,
yeah. It's not how it works.
Sometimes just shutting up's the best answer.
Just eat the humble pie. Speaking of unstable, my Washington football team gets the win, Hoop, on Monday Night Football.
Let's go.
Seattle, you're done. Get out of here, Russell. Go hang out with Sierra, you bum. I'm just kidding. I like Russell Wilson. But
I'm extremely jealous that he gets to do that on the daily, if we're being
honest. I mean,
honest.
I didn't say it was a bad thing. Man, tell you what, the game, I was like, we got this locked. Russell Wilson comes down. You know, there's 15 seconds left. He throws the touchdown. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? They go for two. We stop that. Yes, game over, game over. No one ever gets an onside kick. Oh, they got the onside kick. But, you know, some little rule that they have in place where they try to protect players, that the guy was lined up too close to the kicker. Got to be outside those hashes.
Well, they didn't protect the Packers dude that got his face blown off on their onside kick.
I don't make the rules. I didn't even know that was a rule. But then the second onside kick, we got, you know, the second time. Taylor Heinicke, listen, he's not the franchise quarterback. Yeah, we were talking about being unstable, how many quarterbacks Washington has gone through. But he always makes games interesting. I don't know what else to say. Like, and he never quits. That he could throw three picks and be like, "Fuck it, I'm still going."
Yeah, he has no quit in him. And here's a comparable thing. I was listening to Dan Patrick's show this morning, and they said, "Okay, quarterback one," and they listed off the stats. Mm-hmm. Who is it? And I'm like, I don't know. And like, quarterback two, list off the stats. Who is it? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Well, the first one, and they're very comparable, like real close in numbers. Mm-hmm. And it was Taylor Heinicke and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, yeah.
And they're basically the same statistical quarterback this season. And Dan Patrick was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, Heinicke's scrappy. I know the locker room loves him. And look, he'll keep you in a game. And he's not a guy you're going to want with the ball with 30 seconds to go. And
it makes you kind of sick.
It for you. Makes you a little nervous, but...
Yeah,
so it's working right now.
It is, and you know they're sitting right there, seventh spot. If the playoffs were to start today, it'd be a Packers. What was that? Right, Packers Washington. Let me see. I took a little screenshot of it. Yep, Packers Washington.
We already saw that this year once, and
we would be
let's
sad.
See it again. I
yeah,
take it.
No, I don't want to do it again.
It's basically a bye week for us.
Yeah, no, don't want to do it. In any event, Antonio Gibson, good game for him. 29 carries, 111 yards. J.D. McKissic pretty much breaks his neck from what it looks like. He's going to be out. I mean, he didn't break his neck, but it was a bad, bad fall. Lands on his head. So, I don't know. I'll tell you what, Hoop. Chacon was talking that shit last week. We're going to have to cross off your boys next week. I said, no, we're not getting this win in Washington against Seattle.
They're only two games back of the Cowboys.
Exactly. and all the rest, I mean, minus this upcoming week, the rest of the games are all division. So it gets very interesting. Did you want to add anything to the greatness of that game last night?
No. I mean, dealing your text to Haro that you sent us in the group was hilarious. So, it's always good to see him in pain.
Yeah, my poor little buddy Jose Haro. He just said pretty much leave me alone. all right, let's move on to next week. Week 13, man, it's crazy. I feel like we just started doing this and we're at week 13 already. So this
football season goes by so fast and it's so sad. Like college football, they got conference championships this week and then we know who went in like the championship. Yeah, it's a ways away, but like the end is near.
Yeah. And it's so weird. And then you just, I mean, obviously I love basketball. You have basketball, but it's just so cold outside, you know, and then you're just like inside watching hoops. That's what I do in the winter. All right. Interesting game, interesting line. Thursday night, Chacon's Dallas Cowboys go into New Orleans to play the Saints. Again, change of quarterback, Taysom Hill. Believe Alvin Kamara is back. Dallas does get back CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper. They're still on the injury report as out, but everything I've heard, they're both playing. But with that said, you got half the coaching staff with COVID. They won't be showing up for Dallas. The Lions 4.5 for Dallas in New Orleans. I don't see a way Dallas loses this.
I don't either, especially if Lamb and Cooper play. I just the Saints, they're so up and down. Like they're like they just got their ass whooped.
Yeah.
Is this one of their up weeks where they do it? I picked the Cowboys to win. Yeah. I just think that they have to win. Like they're getting to a point where, okay, we need to create a little bit of separation because if they win this week and your football team doesn't, then they create enough separation where they're
somewhat comfortable. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the Cowboys, but here's the thing. I won't be surprised if this is a close game and somehow New Orleans wins this. Dallas feels like they are shitting their pants lately, and I don't know why. I mean, last week, obviously.
Starts at the top. It's Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy just had too much turkey, and he's just... But, you know, obviously they didn't have Lamb. They didn't have Cooper. But they should be a good enough team to beat the Raiders at home, and they didn't. The defense didn't look good. Again, you have your penalties, whatever. Saints defense hasn't been playing well, but they're generally a good defense. So with that said, I'm still going to go with the Cowboys, probably to cover. But God damn it, if I'm not going to be cheering on the Saints Thursday night.
Yeah, we all will be. We'll all be cheering for the Saints. When they're like,
yeah, I'm yelling, who dat all night long. Let's get into Sunday. We have the Bucs going into Atlanta to play the Falcons. The line's at 11. Four, obviously, Tampa Bay. I feel like the line's too high. I think Tampa Bay wins. But I don't... They haven't shown me anything recently to where it's like they have this just the dominant offense on lock. Now, obviously, we're talking about Tom Brady, so that could just
happen.
That's
how they get you.
I know. It's a rope-a-dope.
So I'm going to say the Bucs do cover. I picked them to win, but I'm going to say they do cover just because they haven't been lately.
And it's a good – yeah.
It's a good matchup because the Falcons stink.
Yeah, they're bad. I still can't just do – I call Bucs to win, but I just can't do the 11. Now watch, they're going to win by like 30 points, and I'll be stupid. But next game we have the Cardinals going into Chicago to play the Bears. Kyler Murray, questionable. Justin Fields, questionable. Not like, I don't think that matters a ton.
Red Rocket just threw for 300.
Yeah, he did. Arizona's favored by 8 in Chicago. What do you think?
This one I think the Cardinals win, but I think it's closer than 8. I don't think that they blow them out in Chicago. It's probably going to be cold.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
Windy.
And is Murray playing? I don't know. If not, Colt McCoy on the road, it's Chilly Willy out there.
If it's Colt McCoy versus Andy Dalton, like...
My God, turn it off.
I cheer for the Bears to lose more than any... My son asked me the other day, Dad, what team do you like the least? I was like, the Bears, I hate them. And he's like, really?
Why?
What have they done lately? I hate them.
He goes to the school and beats up the kid with the Bears backpack. Poor kid.
High five. Yeah. Let's go get ice cream.
Next game, we will look at the Chargers going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. again, we don't know who the Chargers are. They're so up and down. Bengals, I feel like we have some type of an idea. 7-4, 6-5. Mixon, for what it's worth, the Chargers can't seem to stop a running back. Mixon's a very good running back. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I'm going to go with the Bengals and then obviously to cover 3 points.
I've got the Chargers winning. I don't know why. I think like the game against Pittsburgh, I was like, that's the Chargers team that I was expecting at the beginning of the year. Like, and how they started out with the way Herbert was playing early in the year. And I just think that they start to figure it out. Like, I just hope that they figure it out this week and it's the Bengals. Like, Bengals are like, they still are learning how to win, and maybe they just haven't done it good enough down the stretch.
Yeah. This is a game where you could tell me anything could happen. The Bengals could win by 30. The Chargers could win by 30. It could be a 1-point game.
Right? It's in Cincinnati. So, I mean,
I don't know. I have no idea.
3 points is saying it's because you're the home team.
Yeah.
It's a coin flip game.
Yeah. Next game. Jeez. Vikings going to Detroit to play the Lions.
I'm never picking the Lions again. Like, I just can't do it. Like, I'm going to be wrong if they win, but Vikings.
line is 7 for the Vikings. No Dalvin Cook.
The Lions will keep it close enough to break some hearts and upset some people, but...
They're not winning.
They'll find a way to lose.
I'm right there with you, yeah. I don't think Minnesota covers, but I think they win. Next up, the Giants go into Miami to play the revitalized Dolphins. Right now, Miami is favored by 3.
I wrote the Giants down.
Whoa!
And I'm kind of questioning myself, but I'm going to stick with it and just say, like, hey, the Dolphins, they're not there.
I think the Dolphins win this. I think the Dolphins' defense is good enough to shut down Daniel Jones, and I don't think the Giants' defense is good at all. So, you know, it could be like a 13-7 game like we had this last week, but just on the for the Giants, but just the flip result. So I'm going to go with Miami. I think they got it. Next game we'll roll into, it's an interesting one. The Eagles go into New York to play the Jets. Philly's favored by 6.5 in New York. I mean, Philly... Maybe last week it was just one of those games where like they just didn't show up, but it's kind of scary because the Giants defense isn't good by any means. But on top of that, the Jets offense led by the Zach Wilson isn't very good either. So I don't know what to say here. I don't know what to say. I think I'm going to go with Philly, but the 6.5 seems like a little much.
I picked the Eagles and. For no reason other than it's the Jets.
Yeah.
And I just, like, they're just still so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And, they'll get better, I think. It just takes time. Like, they're not going to flip around the shit show they've been over all the years. But I've got the Eagles. They'll bounce back. Hurts will play better.
Yeah.
He'll still be good for probably a pick. But I think he's not going to throw 3 again.
Sure. And then hopefully they just don't let Rager play.
It's tough.
Yeah. Next game, the Colts go into Houston to play the Texans. Colts are 6-6. Texans are 2-9. Colts are favored by 9 points. What do you think here?
I picked the Colts. I think I picked them to only win 6 games on the year. Like, I had them like not low, being very good. And so, like, this will put them over the 6 win mark and make me wrong, but oh fucking well. Like, they're playing pretty good. Like, they played well against Tampa Bay for the most part. Mm-hmm. If they play as well as they did against Tampa Bay, they should blow the Texans out.
Yeah, out of the water. I'm there with you. I think the Colts win. I think they cover that 9 points. Next game we will go to will be the Washington football team, 2nd place in the NFC East, 7th in the NFC. Whew, boy, who saw that coming? Going into Las Vegas to play the Raiders. Right now, Raiders favored by 2.5 points.
I've got the Raiders winning. I wanted to pick your team for you. I did. I just part of me still wants to be right.
And part of me wants to be a friend. The other half wants to be right.
Yeah. So I got the Raiders, and they'll cover that. They'll win by 4-6.
All right. Here's my thing, okay? And I got to break this down every week. I got to say why I think my team's going to win at least the last 2 weeks anyways. Waller, I don't think he's playing. Carl Nassib, the defensive end, doubtful. Two very important players, especially Waller. Waller is, you know, but again, they beat the Dallas Cowboys. Waller was hurt halfway through the game, right? Yep. I think Washington is riding this train, and I don't believe in Vegas.
Hey, there was a video on Instagram yesterday of the old ball coach Rivera in the locker room after the game the other night, and man, that
he's on
me hype.
Fire.
I was like, hey. I'm ready to attack this Tuesday. Yeah. Let's go.
He was walking to, you know, to the locker room, and the fans were like, all right, Ron. He goes, let's fucking go. Said, that's my coach. I'm going to go with Washington. Now, if this were a number of other teams, I wouldn't feel as confident. I just don't believe in the Raiders. With all that's happened to them, somehow the Thanksgiving miracle happened.
That was for all of us.
Yeah,
that wasn't for them.
The United States of America. Yes. You're right. Except for Texas.
fuck Texas. Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going with Washington. I got to write it out, right? I mean, there's going to be a couple weeks coming up where we get into these division games that are just kind of a toss-up. But I think Washington wins this, and that's what I'm sticking with. And I may be wrong, and I may have a very sad Sunday.
Nobody can ever debate your loyalty.
Nope. Well, earlier this year, I said we sucked and then we were done. We had the worst defense in the league. I was still loyal, but I just was being...
You said that out of pain.
This next one's going to be a real barn burner. The Jags go into L.A. to play the Rams. I think the Rams are going to get back up on the horse.
I think they're going to take out a lot of aggression on the Jaguars, yeah. And they might not pull off the gas pedal until late in the fourth because we got to get our rhythm back,
right.
And they might try to... And just hurt feelings.
Yeah, and players.
And Urban Meyer might be wanting to get canned now that Notre Dame job's open. He might be like, hey,
that's true.
You know.
Looks a little attractive to him. Rams favored by 13. So Rams win, obviously. Do they cover that 13?
Yes.
Yes, I think so too. No debate there. Next game we have the Ravens go into Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Ravens offense looked very bad. Lamar looked very bad. With that said, I think he's going to bounce back this game. TJ Watt, I think I just had something come over right before we started recording. He's out, COVID. No TJ Watt for that Steelers defense. Baltimore's favored by 4. I think they cover it, and this might be Big Ben's last ride.
Yeah, I think the Ravens win this one. Lamar hadn't practiced in 2 weeks because he'd been sick, right? Mm-hmm. He sat out the week before his game. I think he'll play better this week, and the Steelers, like, they just got smoked.
Yeah.
So I would expect him to play better, but it won't be enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of – I mean, I got texts from friends and just talking about how Lamar Jackson just isn't good. He's not a good quarterback, and I'm like, he's pretty fucking good. That team's 8-3. Sure, he had an awful game, but when you look around him – the number one, I'm sorry if everyone on the recording can hear the goddamn HOA people blowing leaves out there, but if you do, I apologize. Running back number one, hurt before the season starts. Running back number two, hurt in preseason. He at one point, he had Le'Veon Bell and Devontae Freeman as running backs. This isn't Madden 2014, okay? So just keep that in mind. And really, on the receiving end, Hollywood Brown... Andrews has been hurt a handful of games. Hollywood Brown, though, very, very quick.
Sammy Watkins is there.
I mean, what do you want this? They're 8-3. He's a good player. I'm just going to say.
Yes.
Probably still, I mean, I've been listening to a lot of different podcasts and watching, you know, a lot of sports talk. They're like, who's the MVP in the NFL right now after this week? It's hard to call it.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Brady, Lamar, Rodgers.
Yeah. I think it has to go to Aaron Rodgers right now.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Fuck. That's that fucker from Home Improvement, right?
Yeah.
Jonathan.
What teen magazines did you subscribe to in the 90s?
Fucking Shit. I don't even know where that came from.
Oh, like, man, that was funny. Taylor Tomes.
You know what it was? Is I was looking at the TV over here, and it said Tom, and so it just kind of all came out at once. But Jonathan Taylor might be the only non-quarterback up there.
Right. Yeah, I think so. And it's a shame Derrick Henry got hurt, because he would probably be the MVP at this point.
Yeah.
I think he's been out, what, 4 weeks now? Yeah. 5 weeks almost? And he still leads the league in rushing attempts. And I think he's third now in yards. Insane. All right, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. I'm definitely putting his face on the cover for the fucking. Okay, next game. 49ers go into Seattle to play the Seahawks. Right now, the Niners are favored by 3.5. What do you think here?
I got the 49ers. They've been playing well. Now they'll need Debo to play, but if he's out, I think they'll find a way. Maybe my guy that I said was going to have a great year will finally have to step up to the plate. And guess what? You can't bench Ayuk now.
Yeah, you don't have many other people to throw to. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think the Niners win. Russ looks weird. I mean, he had a...
They just look bad defensively, offensively. Like, their scheme... Like I heard other guys talking about it on the radio today too. Like, okay, we're gonna run outside zone, and that's all we're gonna run. We're just gonna run that. We're gonna run that. Oh, and we'll do this play. And it was just so basic. Yeah. Like, why are you babying a guy like Russell Wilson? Like, you don't have to give him vanilla offense. Mm-hmm. Throw the whole book at him.
Yeah, he. You know, if you look at his numbers from Monday night's game, they look okay. 2 touchdowns, right? 200 and something yards. But he had 2 huge plays. Like, that one, the Lockett, was like 60 yards when the DB just was like, fuck it, I'm not following him. I know that's who I should be following. I'm not going to. So 2 big plays. But he on the short throws, he just looks like something. I mean, obviously his finger was broken, essentially. But the short throws to the flats look really weird. He overthrew Everett twice, like way over his head when he was wide open. He just looks off. So, yeah, I'm there with you with the 49ers winning. I don't think it's going to be a pretty game by any means.
If it's marital problems, Ciara, you can call me. We'll talk about it. I'm here for you.
Hoop is a counselor.
I mean, I'm not certified or I didn't graduate from anywhere, but I listen to a lot of people's problems over the years.
Let's see. Sunday night, this game was actually flexed because originally it was supposed to be the 49ers and Seahawks. We get the Broncos heading into Kansas City to play the Chiefs. This line is crazy to me. Crazy town. The Chiefs are favored by 10.
I don't get how they come up with some of these lines, but they're never wrong.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand it, but like, if the Broncos win this game, that entire division is tied, essentially.
Yep.
And who knows what goes on at that point. I picked the Chiefs to win. It's in Arrowhead. It's a tough place to go play. The Chiefs, on paper, should be a far better team.
Right.
So, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. I don't think that they cover, because 10 is a lot.
A lot. I think so, too. I think this is a 24-17 game, you know, but yeah, I go with the Chiefs as well. This is a game though where the Chiefs, they need to come out, like, if they want to be contenders, looked at as a contender to me in my eyes, which is what's most important to them, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they need to come out and just crush the Broncos. Like, that's what you would expect.
Yeah,
if you're the best team, you know, or one of the top teams in the AFC. But the Broncos, you can't sleep on them. Even after that Von Miller trade where you think, okay, they're probably just packing it in. No, they haven't. They look pretty decent. So, all right, Monday night. This line surprised me too, I'm not going to lie. The Patriots go into Buffalo to play the Bills. Buffalo is favored by 3.
That's home field.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. As well as the Patriots have been playing, I think Buffalo looked really good.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving night, and get them a couple extra days rest. I think Buffalo wins this one, and they'll probably cover the 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of the magic number for NFL lines, but I think that they cover that, and just Buffalo will the Patriots are going to get in the playoffs,
yeah,
regardless. But I think Buffalo wins that division, so I kind of need them to win for that reason.
Yeah, I, man.
And my son is a Bills fan because his favorite college player, Zach Moss, is on him.
Oh,
even though,
even though
he's always inactive, like anytime the Bills are, is Zach playing? Is he running the ball? No.
No, he's right there. No.
And then as soon as he finds out, I'm like, oh, he's not playing today, he loses all interest in the game. Like, you're not even a Bills fan. Yeah. Go jump on a table. Give him your stripes.
Give him a break. He's like, what, 9 years old?
Eight.
Yeah. You're all, where's your loyalty? I'm going to go with the Pats. I think the Pats are on a roll. I think their defense is playing really, really well. Buffalo can't run the ball at all. And I think the Patriots are going to do just enough to win the game. Not to say that Buffalo's defense isn't good, but I think they're going to find a way. And I think the Patriots are going to be the favorite out of the AFC once these playoffs start. It's fucking crazy to say. Obviously, we're living in the moment.
Can you imagine a Tampa Bay, New England suit? It would be unfucking bearable. I wouldn't be able to turn on the TV for 2 weeks.
I wouldn't even watch the stuff.
Oh, I'm watching the game on mute.
The game, yeah. Have some music going on. Yeah. Okay, so we're split there on Monday night. All right, well, man, we only have a couple more weeks, you know? It's crazy it's gone this fast. A couple of our predictions look good, a couple of them not so good. I think it'd be fun, you know, the last week of the year to kind of do a recap, look back at what we were wrong about.
that list, that's going to be a long episode.
It might be Yes, it will. Hopefully the Texans just don't win any more games and we at least get that right. All right, man. Hoop, anything else you want to touch on before we head out?
The Seahawks. They're off the list,
oh,
right?
Correct. We have to cross off. Thank you for catching that.
Boom.
Seahawks, dunzo. But we do have to pick an AFC team. When you and I were texting earlier, or yesterday, I had said, you know what? I think it's the Steelers, and you were saying you think it's the Browns.
I think it's the Browns based off their remaining schedule. Now, I didn't look at the Steelers' remaining schedule, okay, but the Browns, they have the Ravens, the Raiders, the Packers, and the Bengals. That's four losable games.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, depending, and especially because the Bengals should be lined up like that, that's going to be a game to play for where both teams, like even if the Browns are in a spot, they're going to have to win that game to get in the playoffs. The Bengals might need that game to get in the playoffs.
Right.
The Packers should beat the Browns relatively handily. So I think that's my reason for the Browns is their remaining schedule and just as bad as they've looked,
right.
I just can't think that they figure it out.
Here's my thought with the Steelers. So I think they lose this week to the Ravens, and I think it might be Big Ben might be done, right? They might be like, all right, let's get Mason Rudolph in here. Or fuck.
No, even worse,
make it rain Dwayne.
Haskins ain't going to see the field.
No.
That guy, he might be released after the year, and the Steelers are definitely going to be in the quarterback hunt come draft time.
So let's say this is Big Ben's last game. You get Mason Rudolph, who tied the Detroit Lions. I know it wasn't all on him, but Jesus Christ, it was on him, right? We had some fumbles in overtime, but you can't tie the worst team in the league.
No.
So we'll say Big Ben, they lose to the Ravens this week. He's done. Then we get Mason Rudolph playing the Vikings, the Titans, the Chiefs, the Browns, and then the Ravens one more time. I think the Steelers have to be done. Now, I'm not against Cleveland being done, but if I was to say, all right, these are the two teams we have, who has a better shot after this week of making the playoffs, I still have to think it's Cleveland somehow.
You would think, but
even if you look at the backup quarterback situation, I would go with
Case Keenum.
I would go with
Case Keenum is a better backup than Mason Rudolph. I won't say that. I just think that the Browns have looked awful as of late. They haven't looked very good. And like I said, like the teams they have left, like now. So I'm gonna say it's the Browns are in the worst spot,
mm-hmm.
because and I don't know if either one of us even took the time to look like that with the standings, since the Steelers have that tie on there. Is it go off losses or wins?
This is what's throwing me off.
Because they're both at 500 right now.
Yeah.
But the Browns are on a bye week this week.
The thing that's throwing me off is the Steelers on ESPN are showed as fourth right now in the AFC North, and Cleveland is third. I tried to figure out, okay, conference play, division. They have the same record against the division.
Did the Browns beat the Steelers head-to-head once this year?
Let's take a look, because that is probably... I don't remember. No, because it was early in the year. The Steelers beat the Browns. All right, you know what? We'll go with the Browns. Next week, we'll cross off the Steelers. I'm fine with that. Browns are done. You get the Sharpie. You're out of here. Perfect. So Browns, Seahawks, both
free Baker.
Done.
Free Baker Mayfield.
Oh, next week is going to be...
My guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's fine, you know? Next week's going to be tough for some crossing offage, because it's starting to get into the gristle of the end of the year. So we will see what happens then. But thank you, Hoop. I appreciate you, bro.
No problem.
We started a little late. We had a small technical difficulty, but you know what? You're a rider.
I'm here for the long haul. Like it or not. Right, wrong, indifferent.
Perfect. All right, man. Well, you have a good rest of your day.
Yeah, you too.
Peace. Give me my roses now, don't wait till I'm underground. Give them the roses now, don't wait till they're underground. All right, roses this week go to none other than all of you listening right now. Now, I know I've given roses to the listeners in the past, specific listeners or just the broad audience, but like I had said in some of those questions at the beginning of the podcast, to be able to do this 50 episodes in a row, and you guys check in every single week. Sometimes, you know, you may miss a week. Sometimes you're new to the podcast, and there's others of you who have been listening since day one. So it's just very cool that I get to come into essentially your homes once a week, and we talk sports, we talk music, and all kinds of other random shit. So these roses go to all of you. Again, 50 episodes. I didn't know if I was going to make it this far when I first started. Obviously, I was having fun, but I just didn't know. When you're jumping into something brand new, it's just an unknown. And the support that you guys have given me on social media, buying the t-shirts, which again, I have some more in, very short run, limited run. So if you want those for the holidays, let me know. At the Will Wonder Pod, you can reach out to me. Or email me at djwillwonderslc@gmail.com. Anyways, roses to all of you who are listening now, who have been listening since the beginning, the new listeners who came on episode 20, who came at episode 40, or if you're a new listener this week, shout out to you. All right, we're going to head out now. See y'all next week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at the Will Wonder Pod. Follow me on Twitter at DJ Will Wonder. Peace.